Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. I love this season of the year. I love this season from Easter up through Pentecost. I love all the seasons of the church, but this one has a particular joy for me because it really is an opportunity to celebrate for 50 days the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, his death and resurrection made possible for you and for me to live eternally in utter joy and peace. My goodness, let the roots of your faith go down deeper. This is true. In a sense, brothers and sisters, living faith helps us that in every thought and word an action that we do today, how does this contribute to my eternal destiny? How I treat other people, what my priorities are, what my motives are. God can reorient us. Take one area at a time. Take one aspect of your life that say, well, this certainly isn't oriented toward the greater honor and glory of God. Everything can be, everything. From going out to exercise, to preparing a meal, to dealing in business, every exercise of our minds, our bodies, can honor the glory of God if we but turn to him and if we offer it to him. That's why the morning offering is so important. Oh, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular, for the intentions of the Holy Father. You know, you can go online. Just go to the Vatican website, vatican.va, and look at the intentions for the week, for the month. There's one there. Brothers and sisters, every thought, word, and action, no matter how trivial, no matter how seemingly small, if it's offered to God for his honor and glory, your life, honestly, to use another analogy, your life can become like a symphony. Honestly, this is not just a comparison. It's the reality of what God wants to do with us and in us and through us and for us. He wants our lives to contribute to the greatest symphony, the praise and the glory of God that could ever be given. Don't look at your life, even if you're confined to bed, even if you're confined to your house, even if you're in the hospital, even when you're not able to perform all the things that ordinary daily life give us, right where you are, the circumstances in which you find yourself right now, your life can become a symphony, really, of glory and praise to God, and there is no greater music than that. The opening prayer for today says, O God, by whose grace, though sinners, we are made just, and though pitiable, we are made blessed. We stand, we pray, by your works, stand by your gifts, that those justified by faith may not lack the courage of perseverance. May not lack the courage of perseverance. Come on, brothers and sisters. Let's run the race. Let's run the race together. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verses 7 to 21. We continue now with the very early church and all the things they encountered, good and difficult, right from the day that Christ was assumed into heaven, certainly before that, but I'm speaking now post-resurrection. And there's a great debate going on, if you remember the readings. There's a great debate going on the Gentiles are now coming to faith, to believe in Jesus Christ. And the Jews are saying, well, under the old law, this is what we had to do. What of all that are we supposed to retain? And what of that are we to look to the new, to what Christ taught us? In other words, priorities are changing. And some of the Jews think that the Gentiles coming in have to obey every jot and tittle of the Mosaic law. And there's a great debate going on about what is really required by God for the Gentiles. That's the pagans who have become Christian. What's God's mind, his heart for them? After much debate had taken place, Peter got up and said to the apostles and the presbyters, "My brothers, you are well aware that from early days God made his choice among you, that through my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness by granting them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. He made no distinction between us and them, for by faith he purified their hearts. Why then are you now putting God to the test by placing on the shoulders of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear?" He's talking about the 613 precepts of the Jewish law that had to be observed to be a good Jew. He said, "Why are we now putting God to the test by placing on the shoulders of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they are." The whole assembly fell silent, and they listened while Paul and Barnabas described the signs and wonders God had worked among the Gentiles through them. After they had fallen silent, James responded, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has described how God first concerned himself with acquiring from among the Gentiles a people for his name. The words of the prophets agree with this, as is written, 'After this I shall return and rebuild the fallen hut of David. From its ruins I shall rebuild it and raise it up again, so that the rest of humanity may seek out the Lord, even all the Gentiles on whom my name is invoked. Thus says the Lord, who accomplishes these things known from of old.'" Brothers and sisters, he's quoting the Old Testament. They were able, because they had read the prophets over and over and over again, they began to see, their eyes began to be opened, their ears became unstopped, and they began to see that Jesus was the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament. This is part of the reason why I say to you, read the scriptures daily, so that you can separate lies from truth, so that you can understand what the good fruit of God really is, so that you can discern what looks good but is actually evil, so that you can discern what is good. Brothers and sisters, read the scripture daily. And then James said, "It is my judgment, therefore, that we ought to stop troubling the Gentiles who turn to God, but tell them by letter, avoid pollution from idols, unlawful marriage, the meat of strangled animals, and blood." That's it. "For Moses, for generations now, has had those who proclaim him in every town, as he had been read in the synagogues every Sabbath." See, they're working through what is it that God asks, and they're using the word of God, and they're using, obviously, the witness of Christ, and they're using the power of the Holy Spirit. "Proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations." Psalm 96. Do you proclaim God's marvelous deeds wherever you are, whatever you're doing? I was stranded the other day in an airport in Toronto. This time last year it was LaGuardia, this year it was Toronto, and ended up in a marvelous conversation while 200 of us frustrated people waiting in line to try and get other flights, which did not materialize. But while we were in line, I ended up in conversation with a woman from Japan, a couple from the Philippines, a young man from Spain, and we all just had this marvelous conversation just about life. And they asked me about me, and I was able to tell them about me and what I was doing. We just had a great conversation. The audience kind of grew. Other people were listening. And it was an indirect way of speaking of the work of God. God can use you at any moment if you're open. Of course, if I had been fuming there as I felt inside, I would not have been able to communicate the love of God the way that it happened. Take advantage of every opportunity. Proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations, right in your own backyard. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 11. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. As the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father, I love you." There is no greater love, brothers and sisters, that you could ever receive than the love that the Father has for you through the Son. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. The fruit of joy comes from the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And as I've often spoken about on this program, the commandments are not just rules and regulations. The commandments are there to help us to come into union with God, the very source of love, which is by his Spirit what produces joy. It's the commandments, brothers and sisters. We always want to avoid them. But St. John Paul, isn't it wonderful to call him Saint? St. John Paul, what he said is, Jesus reveals an awesome reality. He loves us the very way that the Father loves him. What God first concerned himself with remains his main desire, acquiring a people for his name. Thus Christ begs, remain in my love. Remain in my love. Abide in my love. Live in my love. Let it be your motivation. We do so by keeping his commandments, for they save us. Now listen to this. John Paul says, the commandments save us from the destructive force of egoism and falsehood. Me, me, me. I am my own Trinity. Me, me, me. Everything comes from me. Everything belongs to me. I do everything for my sake. That's called idolatry. The commandments save us from the destructive force of egoism and falsehood. To keep the commandments is to be faithful to our deepest aspirations, our deepest desires, deeper even than you know. The pathway is the commandments, and the wider pathway is the whole Word of God. Brothers and sisters, in this marvelous Easter season, make a promise to yourself and a promise to God to make sure you're walking the way of the Word through the power of the Eucharist. You will be happy. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.